Moshe Rabbeinu comes at the beginning of Parshat Bo, and he tells Paro that there's going to be another Makkah, the Makkah of Arba. And he describes what's going to happen, and he walks out. Vayifan Vayetzim in Paro. Paro's Avadim come along and say, listen, you know, we're suffering a lot from the Makkos, what are we going to do? Maybe we could work something out. So Paro calls them back in and he says, listen, I'll let you go. You want to go for 3 days? I'll let you go for 3 days. Who's going? Everybody, the old, the young, the boys, the girls, we're taking the sheep, the cattle, everything. And Paro says, no. You're asking for too much. Ruki ra neged p'necha. Lochein l'chuna ha'gvarim v'yivdu es Hashem ki yosah atam mevakshim. The adult males can go. Nobody else. And he chases them out. Why doesn't he want to send the children? Chazal understand that he claimed that it would be dangerous for the children to go. There comes along the Ridvaz. Ridvaz was on the Gedolim, who passed away at the beginning, towards the beginning of the 20th century. He was a Rav in Europe. Then he went to New York and Chicago. Eventually came to Tzfat. And Ridvaz asks, okay, the adult man, he's willing to let go. The children, he says, it's going to be too dangerous for them. What about the women? There's no mention of the women. Why doesn't he let the women go? In order to understand the answer to the Ridvaz, I think we need a little bit of background. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there at the Sneh in Parshat Shemot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him two signs. He takes his rod and he throws it down and it becomes a nachash. And he takes his hand and he puts it in his clothing and pulls it out. And it's turned to tzarat. What are the symbolism behind these two signs? The Beis Halevi explains as follows. The nachash represents physical harm. The nachash is dangerous. The nachash can harm people, the nachash can kill. Tzaraat is a spiritual ailment. We know that it's not exactly like leprosy that we are aware of. It's something that comes and goes. It's brought about by Lashon Hara and other chatai. There's something representing physical harm and something representing spiritual harm. Because the Beis HaLevi explains, the Mitzrayim were out to do two things. They were out to physically harm Bnei Yisrael. Servitude, killing them, hurting them. But they were also out to cause spiritual harm. They wanted Bnei Yisrael to give up their uniqueness, stop their ancient ways, adopt the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. And those were the two signs that Moshe Rabbeinu was given when he was standing there by the Sneh. Now, if I were to ask you, which was the primary one and which was the secondary one? Was Paro primarily interested in the physical servitude and the spiritual harm was a byproduct? Was Paro primarily interested in spiritual harm and the servitude was some sort of byproduct? So I would have guessed, I don't know what you would say, but I would have guessed that primarily Paro wanted to enslave us physically. He wanted slave labor. And as a consequence, we would assimilate. We wouldn't be able to continue in our traditions. But the Beis HaLevi says that's not so. primary purpose of Paro is not the physical harm, but the spiritual harm. And it's interesting. The example of the creature that represents physical harm was the Nachash. Chazal tell us that the Nachash is different from most animals which kill. If the lion attacks its prey, why does it do so? Because it wants to eat. The lion, the tiger, the wolf, it attacks its prey in order to eat, in order to benefit. The Nachash has no benefit from taking his tongue and sticking it out and getting the venom into a person's body or another animal's body and killing it. It doesn't go out to eat the animal. There's no gain from it. Paro wasn't interested in the slave labor. He wasn't going to gain from it. Chazal tell us that the cities of Pison and Ramses were built on quicksand, and Bnei Yisrael would build and the walls would sink, and they would build and the walls would sink. They kept on building, the walls would sink. There was no gain. So why does Paro do that? Paro does that because his primary goal was to destroy the uniqueness, the unique spirituality of Am Yisrael. He wanted to give up their ways, to totally assimilate, adopt the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. That's what it was all about. The Medrash tells us that at the beginning Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim and they continued to do Bris Milah even once the servitude started. And the Mitzrayim came and offered them a deal. You give up Bris Milah, we'll ease the bondage. We'll give you some breaks in your servitude. It was more important for them, for the Egyptians, to give that the Jews give up their Bris Milah than it is to get the free slave labor. That's what their primary goal was. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and he says, I have to save Bnei Yisrael. So go to Paro and ask him for a 3-day pass. Travel for 3 days and we'll worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll reconnect with the Ribono Shalom. And in theory we might even go back to fulfill the Abraham El Shana. But we can't stay in Mitzrayim too much longer because we're sinking towards the abyss of the 50th Shar HaTumah. So let us go. Tell Paro to let Bnei Yisrael go. They'll recharge their batteries. They'll reconnect. And they'll come back. Paro says, no way. What, if it would destroy the Egyptian economy if the slaves went for a few days? Paro didn't care about the economy. Since his whole goal was to get them to give up their Yiddishkeit. If he lets them go, his whole plan goes down the drain. But the Makos are getting tougher and tougher and harsher and harsher. So it comes to Makos Arbe. And Paro's servants say to him, you know, Paro, can't handle this much longer. So he says, Miva Mia Holchim. He says, I want to take everybody. Paro says, no. Take the men. Why not the women? What's with the women? See, here, let's go back to the Ritvaz. Paro's thinking is very simple. I'll let the men go. But the women have to stay behind. If the men go, so they'll recharge their batteries, the men will reconnect to Ribono Shel Olam, they'll come back, but the rest of Bnei Yisrael are finished. Because the men won't influence the next generation. But I'm not going to let the women go. Because if the women go, then, says Paro, my plan is sunk. Because if the women go, The women are the ones who are going to establish what the household is going to be like. They're the ones who are going to educate the next generation. If the women go and they recharge their batteries and they reconnect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, then all of Am Yisrael will reconnect. I can't let the women go, because they're the Iker. They're the ones who are going to make the difference. If I keep the women away from going to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to worship their God, then I can continue destroying their spirituality. If the women go, then their spirituality, pardon the pun, will be rejuvenated. Not original. We get to Har Sinai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Am Yisrael. Moshe Ala Elokim. Hashem turns to Moshe. Vayikra Elav Hashem in Ahar Leimar. Kol Samar Leves Yaakov. L'Saged L'Bnei Yisrael. There are two groups of people over here. Beis Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael. The Medrash says, Beis Yaakov, Elo HaNashim, the women. Bnei Yisrael, Elo HaAnashim. It's the men. Medrash asks, why do the women come first? Why is it Shekosoma first Lebeis Yaakov, V'saged Lebnei Yisrael, and then to Bnei Yisrael? So Medrash says, because it's the women Shemanhigo says Bneiem LaTorah. It's the women were the ones who were the primary educators of the children. You teach the men, you teach Torah to that generation. You educate the women, you teach Torah to future generations.